Hey, this is Nick Gelso, co-owner and founder of CLNS Radio. Today's podcast is brought to you by Lynda.com. Lynda.com is the home of expert video tutorials. Because you're such a loyal listener of CLNS Radio, and it's 2015, you want to kick the new year off in style, claim your free trial today from CLNS by going to Lynda.com/CLNS. That's LYNDA.com/CLNS. Now on to your regularly scheduled program.
What's going on with the sound here? That was loud. Was that not loud for you?
It's about average. Just about
average.
Right.
I thought it was pretty average. Loud. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, that sound means this is Careless Whispers. We're a little late to start the show, which allows me to say that I needed a little bit of maybe prep time. Or practice?
We're talking about practice, man.
No, I had a browser problem, Allen Iverson. I apologize to the people that were waiting for us to start the show at 9 p.m. on the dot. My name is Matt Rury. That other voice you heard was Calvin Chamberlain. If you don't know us by now, well, then I feel sorry for you. I just tweeted out, at Team Green Truth, that's my Twitter handle, that the show is live and taking calls. So you can call us at 347-215-7771. And of course, CLNS Radio is on Twitter as well, at CLNS Radio. Also on Facebook, go to clnsradio.com/Facebook. All right, Calvin, what's up, buddy?
What's going on, man? How's your week?
My week?
How's your week? Anything exciting happen?
The snow is piling up here in Boston. That's all that matters around here right now. The mayor, the newly elected mayor, is scolding adult citizens for jumping out of windows into the snowbanks because they're getting so high. He says, you could kill yourself. Don't do that. And he's getting very upset. He doesn't know what to do about the snow anymore, Calvin, and neither do I. It's going to be 40 degrees on Sunday.
Nice.
So we'll discuss that a little bit later because there's going to be flooding.
There's a famous Twilight Zone episode where this guy thinks that the Earth is going closer and closer to the sun, and everybody's sweating and miserable, and it ends with him waking up from his dream, and it turns out that they're going farther away from the sun, and everything's all frozen. So That's kind of what it reminds me of for me, because a couple of days ago it was 90 here, mid-90.
Nice. Yeah, I bet that's nice.
That's what I'm dealing with on my end.
Yeah. 90s.
I'm more of a cold guy. Yeah, than a guy.
Well, me too. But when it's zero, no, thank you. Anyway, let's we can get into that a little bit later, because I was late to start the show. So let's start things off here with a bang. Because it's an all NBA show tonight. That means you're going to be hearing plenty of Allen Iverson, like I just played. Plenty of him
not
talking
a game,
about...
Not a game. We're talking about practice.
Yep, you're probably going to hear this one a few times.
Y'all been in the ball fight.
That's right, that's an NBA drop. What's that?
Three-point shootout recap.
Yeah, there's going to be a three-point shootout recap tonight. Is that what we're doing?
Who's your favorite all-star?
Who's my favorite all-star?
Yeah, who did you enjoy the most?
In the entire weekend, or just?
Yeah.
Am I allowed to say Patrick Beverley?
You can say Patrick Beverley.
I thought he was. I always loved that Shooting Stars competition. You know that, and I thought that he was entertaining in that, and the comeback victory because Brandon Knight couldn't knock down a three-pointer, you know, that's the way the cookie crumbles for you, Mr. Knight. No, but I'm not going. I wouldn't go with Patrick Beverley. Who's yours? Because I'm leaning towards the Dirk Nowitzki alley-oop in tribute to Vince Carter.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I guess it has to be Westbrook, but I'm a Russell Westbrook lover.
Sure.
But yeah, I do actually have to say that I was very entertained by Patrick Beverley, and not because of his comeback, but more because of the fact that he was shamelessly cheating, trying to run up behind guys and mess up their 3-point shot. He did that twice. He did it to Brandon Knight, and then he did it to Jeff Teague, I believe. And I just thought it was hilarious. He'd run up hard and then try to take the exact same spot that the other guy was shooting his three from.
Yep, I saw that. That was pretty sketchy of him. But either way, it was entertaining, and that's what the weekend is about. And I think some of the other, I like to give an honorable mention to all of the NBA stars on the sideline when the dunk contest was happening, because their reaction is the same. Every single time there's a dunk that they like, a couple of them will jump up and then they'll put their arms out like that to hold people back. Oh, don't go near him. Don't go near that guy. He's on fire. He's going to hurt you. And I just think it's the most ridiculous reaction, and it never changes, and it always entertains me.
You know, the other funny thing about it is all the – look, it's not like – all right, Zach LaVine threw down some dunks. Great. He went to UCLA. I love Zach LaVine. But yeah, so this is just me, an average guy who, like, could never do anything that any of these dudes do. And I'm like, okay, that's cool. But the NBA guys who, like, they can also all dunk and do crazy things, are acting like he dunked with his balls. You know what I mean? They're reacting so outrageously that it's... You're right.
Have you ever seen that gif? There's a bunch of guys, and they're, like, dancing around. And there's one dude that sort of like comes across the screen, and he's like looking into the camera real slow. And people have put Obama's face on it, and people have put other sort of things. Have you seen that?
No.
No. Well, if anybody listening has seen that and knows what I'm describing, that's just the way I feel when all these guys are running or jumping up at the All-Star break, and it's a dunk contest, and they see a dunk they like, and they all just, they're like, hold me back, and then there's that one guy that gets to scroll across the screen and have a little nice little celebration. But that's, I don't know, that's just kind of what it reminded me of. Anyway, we're off topic already, because
yeah,
I mean, it was just All-Star weekend. That's right, it was just All-Star weekend. And we normally, Calvin, we do a little bit of a preview show for the All-Star game. We didn't do that this year.
No, we didn't, because I've lost track of the date. But that's okay, because really, I mean, who cares when it comes down to it, right? We do have
that's
a
right,
little,
because it I mean, what is it really?
Sorry, go ahead. Yeah.
Exactly. No, I was just going to say, what is it really? It's not, it's
not
even
practice, man.
That's basically what it is. It's basically practice. It's not a game. I mean, there is a game, but that, I mean, let's just touch on that game quickly, because just 1 minute. 30 seconds each. It was the highest scoring game in NBA All-Star history.
Not a game. We're talking about
that again.
Practice.
It's just a showcase, and it's a lot of fun. But do you think it would be better if they played a little bit of defense for the first 3.5 quarters?
You know what? I think the problem with that, though, is like the moment somebody gets injured in the All-Star game, it's going to ruin all the fun. You know what I mean? Like, Imagine
that's
if
true.
Your team was contending, and then your guy got injured. Then it would turn into the Pro Bowl, where like guys would look for excuses to get out. I think that, you know, get out of it. I think the fact that there's no defense is part of what keeps all the dudes enthusiastic about actually playing in the game. Like, nobody's mad about being in the All-Star game. So that, I hear what you're saying about it being a more legitimate game. I'm just not sure that's possible while also keeping the spirit of camaraderie that NBA players seem to have.
Fair enough. All right, let's get into the real first topic of the night. It is an all-NBA show brought to you by Lynda.com, of course, Lynda.com. And I will tell you a little bit more about good old Lynda a little bit later. But as we like to do on this show from time to time, we're going to lead off with a Celtics topic. And it's basically a double Celtics topic, And rolling into the same topic, but then looking at it from the Lakers' perspective. So let's take it away here. Basically, what we're about to discuss is what the Celtics should do and or need to do here at the trade deadline, which, holy crap, is 2 days away, right? Or is it next week?
No, two days away, Ray.
Yeah, that's what I thought. That's incredible, because usually you'll start to hear some rumblings, and we did hear a couple of rumors over the All-Star break as far as the Celtics are concerned. Both Ty Lawson and DeMarcus Cousins, you heard their names come up. So I don't know if those are part of your fake trades. We have a list game coming up in a couple minutes, but I will just start by saying I've gone on record before and acknowledge that the Celtics are clearly not going to get a bottom five lottery choice here. They're not going to bottom out that much. Even if they keep their young players, and or especially if they keep the young players, if they were to get rid of some of these veterans, they're not going to bottom out. So ultimately, I hope they are buyers in the next couple of days, even if it's not a franchise changing piece.
Well, I'm glad that you said that, Rory, because I'm really curious, because the Celtics are in an interesting position here, and I really do want to know. I hope we do get a caller or two tonight. Callers, call in and let me know if you're listening to this live. If not, I'll just ask Lewis later. But the Celtics right now, just looking at the standings, they're a game and a half out of a playoff spot, game and a half out of that 8 seed behind Miami and Charlotte. You know, those two teams are tied, so they're also a game and a half out of the 7 seed. Now, there's no chance they could possibly catch the 6 seed. But the point is they could easily be out of the lottery with just a decent stretch, right? They could be in the playoffs. Or they could go the other way and try to dismantle the team a little more, try to get some more assets, thinking, like, what's the point of being the team that loses to Atlanta in the first round, where you, as opposed to, you know, getting another draft pick and maybe trading away what guys you do have. Sure, you're not getting top five, but maybe you go from, you know, 12 to 9. But you seem to be pretty set on the side of, hey, let's make a run at this.
Go for it. Make a push for it. Because I think more and more now you start to see that a couple of these assets that he's built up, Danny Ainge that is, may turn out to be a little bit better than we first thought. That Clippers pick, they may drop off a little bit here without Blake Griffin, so we'll have to wait and see what happens with that one. But if they're not going to have a top five chance to win that lottery, what's the point in being 6, 7, 8, 9, 10? You might as well just try and make the playoffs. And if you're 12 or 14 and you miss the playoffs, well, so be it, you know, and then maybe your own pick is not as good this year, but I mean, it's only going to be 3 or 4 spots lower than it was anyway. So if Danny Ainge sees an opportunity to get a player that can make an impact on this team right now to make a playoff run, I say that he goes and he does it, even if he has to give up some of these assets, not first round picks necessarily. At all, actually. I wouldn't give up first round picks, depending on who it is, of course. A lot of qualifiers there. A lot of qualifiers right there. It depends on who it is.
Sounds like you're gonna say a lot. You're gonna give a lot of no's to these deals.
Yeah, no, that's not true. That's not true. We'll have to wait and see what your fake deals come up with here. But got ahead of myself.
Here's the thing. I kind of feel like the worst possible scenario for the Celtics is exactly where they're at right now. Like, I don't think that they're quite good enough to pass Miami or Charlotte.
He's got to do something.
They're right there, but if you're right on that edge, you might as well try to get into that playoff spot, because I'm a person who believes, I'm not an all or bust person. I believe in the value of having my team go to the playoffs and enjoying being excited. You know, even if they don't win, the excitement of, like, them having a chance, them playing competitive playoff games, the experience that gets for players going forward. Like,
especially these young guys. And Stevens as a coach too. If all of these guys are going to be the guys that, or not even all of them, take three out of the five or six that people say are part of the core going forward. Marcus Smart, Kelly Olynyk, Jared Sullinger. I'll even corner in there the way he's been playing in the fourth quarter in some of these games. If you and yes, I do still consider him to be a young player. If you throw all those guys in the mix with a young coach in the playoffs for the first time, if they get swept out, it doesn't matter. They now see what it takes how the game changes in the playoffs, and they can use that going forward. So at this point, if we're talking draft pick or first-round playoff loss, I'll take the first-round playoff loss any day because they're not getting that lottery pick. Unless they to score the Knicks this year, there's no way that's happening. 0.0% chance.
Well, they're not getting the number one, okay? But they are. I guess that doesn't work either. I was just looking at the win column with Orlando because they're only Orlando's only 3 wins back, but they're 8 losses back. So yeah, just even catching Orlando for one of the 5 worst records would be an issue. They'd probably if they did go into tank mode. Potentially, and you know, obviously they would trade away guys who they don't think are future assets. So we're talking about, and you know, I threw in one or two of those tearing apart trades just for you know, interesting. Like the guys they would move in that situation are guys like Bass, guys like Avery Bradley, guys like Evan Turner. Those are the guys we're talking about who aren't, you know, your future guys who are on their rookie deals. You're not trading away Marcus Smart. I mean, you know. Potentially for a superstar, but otherwise now you're not trading away like your Jared Sullinger unless you're getting back a good player. But I'm saying tear apart trade wise, those are the guys we're talking about. So is it worth it to you know, get down to the 6th or 7th pick? I don't know. It might be more worth it than not making the playoffs at all, but I would still, you know, if I was a Celtics fan, rather see them make a run at it.
Gotta try for it.
I just don't want to see them doing nothing. I guess is what I'm saying.
This yeah, you know what? Sense. It would be fun to see them back in the playoffs again. I found another NBA drop.
I love Walter.
Yeah, maybe they can go trade for Walter. Oh, they already have Walter McCarty.
David
All right. He's an assistant coach. He's an assistant coach. Yes.
All right. So we
show
have
how much
a little,
you know.
I don't know very much about assistant coaches. You're right. You got me there. Oh, I need to get a new phone. This phone's already dying. I'm going to have to switch.
Oh, great.
Give me 30 seconds.
Well, this is what I'm going to do. Go ahead. I'm going to play as a teaser slash intro. I'm going to play this best of list game real quick because that's what we're about to do.
Now,
listen to this.
As always, we will get to our list game where I make up a list of random things. And I ask Matt Rury some random questions related to that thing. And today's thing...
That's perfect. That's exactly... You know what, Calvin? That's it. It was sitting under my nose the whole time. Liz created this best of list game for us. All we needed to do was take the first 15 seconds of what I just played there. And that's the intro to list game. Put a little music behind it. There is a little bit of a beat there right now, but put some different music behind it. Maybe some Goo Goo Dolls, you know?
Lounge. Yeah.
Some Nirvana? Foo Fighters?
I was going to say, how is best of list game just me introducing list game? Seems like a pretty low bar for best of list
game. No, it's a 4.5-minute clip, but I realized as I started to play it that should just be our intro.
All right, yeah, let's do it. Let's add some music to that.
All right, fair enough. Boom, Foo Fighters. Anything but the Foo Fighters. All right, so we have a little bit of a list game here, Celtics related. Calvin's come up with some fake trades that could happen in the next couple of days, and I'm going to tell you whether if I would do them if I was Danny Ainge.
Now, for this fake trade list game, I tried to operate in the realm of realism, thinking like, you know, hearing around the league which players potentially could be available, thinking about, you know, the Celtics' assets and what it would take. So in certain situations, the Celtics might have to overpay to get a cat. So if you just look at it in a vacuum, it might sound like, oh, this is not a good deal. But it's like, I try to factor in exactly how much everything is worth in terms of trade value, not necessarily like who's a better player or like how much your draft pick's worth. Anyway, you get the idea, right?
Yes.
All right. So we'll begin. Marcus Smart. Yes. And the Clippers' number one pick for Goran Dragic.
Ooh. Wow. You know what? I'm probably going to value that Clippers pick a little too high, to be honest with you.
They're not slipping out of the playoffs, bro. They have a six-game lead on Phoenix for the eighth seed, and then an eight-game lead. So we're not talking about a lottery pick, but
another mid-range pick. Yeah. It's another mid-range pick. But oh man, Dragic, I wish I knew what his contract situation was.
I can tell you, he's a free agent at the end of the season.
As much as I would love to make that push for the playoffs, if you're going to get rid of Marcus Smart, you need a guy that you can count on to be there for a long time, and I can't pull the trigger on that deal. As much as Dragic, I like Dragic,
Dragic is looking to get paid. That's his primary concern. So if you gave him a contract, the team that trades for Dragic is probably going to be able to re-sign him. So with that, does that change anything, or you're still not making that deal?
No, I can't make that deal without a guarantee. Smart is showing too much promise at this point.
All right, fair enough. I think that
Dragic isn't a player that's going to put you over the top in the East. You need a couple of people if you're looking to do that. Right now, you, as the Celtics are, they should just be looking to make the playoffs.
Oh, certainly he doesn't put you over the top if you're talking about title run, but he would. He would put you into the playoffs, probably, and then, you know, you would have Goran Dragic going forward as one of the foundation pieces. But, all right, that's fine. You say no to that one. I'm just going to mark that as a no. All right. Jared Sullinger and the Clippers number one for Kenneth Faried.
Yes, all day. All day, yes. Give that to me. I love Kenneth Faried. I'm very high on Kenneth Faried. I think that he's the type of player that really would put people in the seats in Boston. I think that they would love to watch him night in, night out. And the way that Sullinger's attitude seems to be creeping up on him the past few months, you've heard it from me a lot on this station, on this network. I'd be willing to part with him. I'm high on Kenneth Faried, though, so call me a fool.
They would essentially be filling each other's roles in the offense. Faried is a little bit better of a more consistent rebounder. You know, they both bring defensive issues.
Defender,
but Faried,
too.
Right. Faried's got a little more energy, I guess. A lot more energy because he's Kenneth Faried, but I think I would make that deal as well. I'm also of the belief that like they have so many assets with these picks. I feel like individually, like trading away a pick is not that big of a deal. You know what I mean? So
right.
So even if you want to say like Sullinger's value shouldn't be like plus the number one less than Kenneth Faried, I just feel like given where they stand asset wise, it makes sense to make that deal. Anyway. This is I'm gonna go the other way with this one. All right, if you want to do a little teardown, you trade away Evan Turner for Thomas Robinson in a second round draft pick.
I feel like Ainge has been high on Robinson in the past, and I haven't really been following what he's been doing this year. But I know that he's bounced around to a couple teams in the past couple of years. Just can't find his way. I don't think is that correct. Is he in Portland? He's not in Portland anymore, is he? He is.
No, he is in Portland. Portland does need bench players. He hasn't been contributing that much, but he is young, and you're getting that second round draft pick.
So yeah, I don't. I don't hate that trade, but that's the key right there. I don't think that they're looking at Evan Turner as a core player. I would throw him in there because of the way he's been playing in the fourth quarter, like I said earlier, but I don't think that the Celtics look at him as that type of a player. So they're trying to showcase a guy like Evan Turner, as far as I'm concerned. I think that they're trying to get as much value as possible. So if Danny Ainge is floating his name out there and Thomas Robinson in a second-round draft pick is the best that he can get, I'd do that too.
All right. Look at you saying yes to some trades. I like this, Murray. I like this. Keeping your mind open. All right.
Yep, that's right. It's difficult.
It's completely disgraceful. It's disgusting.
Okay, Murray. Brandon Bass and the Clippers' number one pick. I really
this one's
like
probably
going to
be enough. Yeah, you really do love that Clippers number one pick. I've been really high on Bass recently, too. This is going to be tough.
Oh, this is probably going to be a no already. I can see it.
For greatness.
I'm sorry, Ray Lewis. You're not a basketball player. For who?
For Enes Kanter of the Utah Jazz.
Oh. Oh. So, when I saw that his name came up in talks, or not in talks with the Celtics, but in just that he wants to be traded from the Jazz, I started thinking, well, there goes, he's trying to lower his value or something. I don't know what he's trying to do there, because there goes his trade value. And how easy is it to trade a guy like that? If Utah thinks that they have a good asset on their hands, maybe they'll hold on to him instead. But listen, I like the idea of him being on the Celtics because he's a pure center and he's shown flashes of greatness over his short career. But his attitude seems like it sucks. So I don't know, man. That's a tough one. I do like Brandon Bass quite a bit. But Kanter, get that center that the Celtics have always been looking for. You gonna give me a little insight before I answer?
On Kanter? Kanter's definitely smooth as an offensive player. He's got a lot of shot. Defensively, he has a bad reputation, but I would say he's closer to average. He's probably around. He's probably gonna give you around what Tyler Zeller gives you defensively, but he's a much less limited offensive player. Like he can hit jump shots and stuff, and he's bigger.
Right.
So that's what I would say for him. The reason he wants to leave Utah is because Rudy Gobert is taking a lot of his minutes.
Right.
And yeah.
Yeah. So maybe he comes to Boston and he wants to play. I guess I'd have to take that trade. Just even though I want Brandon Bass to be a guy that's around. Yes to that one too. That's crazy.
I like it, Ray. See, there's so many trades out there. You should contact Danny Ainge.
Well, this one you're definitely going to say no to. I just threw it in there for fun.
Avery Bradley. I ran all these, by the way, through the trade machine, and they all work.
Cool.
Avery Bradley for Lance.
Lance Straight Stevenson?
Up. Yep, Lance Bass.
What a joke. I'm not even gonna dignify that with a response.
I'll throw in Joey Fatone.
Lance Stevenson. Wait, Lance Bass? Not even funny.
No, Lance Stevenson.
Yeah, that's not even funny either. Some people may think you're funny though. Some people may think you're funny. You know what I think is funny? Oh man, this volume was down. This is what I think is funny. Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
That's
funny. Lance Bass. Yeah. Yeah, she thought it was funny, though.
It was funny. So you don't think Lance can turn it around? You don't think Brad Stevens is the guy to do it? Lance still got that
talent. He wants to go to Brooklyn, right? He's going to be that guy that just wants to dictate where he wants to go. He thought it was going to work in Charlotte. It doesn't, obviously. No, I don't want Lance Stevenson. I don't even like his game. I thought he needs to have players around him, and that was proven in Indiana.
Okay. Now,
this one might seem unrealistic because his name hasn't been on the board. But however, when he recently got injured for a short stretch, the team sort of played better without him. You know, with a bench player running the offense, it kind of freed it up, and it kind of opened up more shots for their best player. This trade is Avery Bradley in Brooklyn's number one next year for Drew Holiday.
And Holiday plays shooting guard for us, or he starts ahead of Marcus Smart. Yeah.
Well, Marcus Smart's not playing point guard for you. Evan Turner plays point guard on the Celtics right now. Smart doesn't handle the ball. He's playing off the ball most of the time.
Most of the time he's playing off the ball because he's not ready to handle the ball in the NBA yet, but they want him to going forward, I would think. They're not trying to turn him into a two-guard here. They want him to be the point guard.
All right, well, Phoenix plays with two point guards.
Yeah, that's true. Drew Holiday is pretty solid, too. I'm going to have to say no just because I think that Brooklyn pick next year is going to be a lot better than mediocre. I think that team is going to fall off the face of the earth, and they're almost there at this point. Even though the East is weak, I expect Brooklyn to just crumble. So I'm saying no based on the pick, not based on Avery Bradley.
Okay. So if I had said the Clippers pick, would you have said yes?
The Clippers pick this year, I probably would have. Yeah, probably would do that.
All right, interesting.
It seems a little bit better. Yeah. Okay. We'll see what happens. Maybe Brooklyn turns out to be decent next year, and Danny Ainge's master plan is foiled.
Excuse me. The team says they don't want to trade this guy. But he doesn't get along with his coach. They've like supposedly come to near blows earlier on in the season, and the trade rumors are out there for him. But you might have to overpay a little to get him out off his team. So if this price has a little steep, it's for that reason. Here's what I'm looking at here: Evan Turner, Brandon Bass, Clippers 2015 pick, and Brooklyn's 2016 pick for Ty Lawson.
Yeah, that's heavy, man. The rumors were that there were discussions for Ty Lawson. That's a heavy deal. What's that?
Here's the thing. Bass is a free agent, right? Turner is basically a match salaries. So, like, we're talking about basically Ty Lawson for two number ones.
Right. That's a heavy deal. I don't know. Is Ty Lawson worth two number ones? I don't know about that. That seems like there's a couple too many picks in there. One pick maybe, two picks I don't think so. I started thinking about that deal when people were saying that the discussions were happening a day or two ago, and yeah, I don't know, Calvin.
You know?
Bass and Turner are fine. I'd throw them in that deal, of course, but
right.
Two picks is tough. One pick, maybe a one and a second round pick, then yes. Two first round picks, if I'm Danny Ainge, I'm counter offering.
Remember, here's the thing. Mozgov just went for two first round picks from Cleveland. I know they're Cleveland's picks, but Ty Lawson is Ty Lawson.
Yeah.
I think it's gonna take two, right? It could be maybe you could wedge them into you know, one of those other two picks, or I haven't taken a look at their picks, but
maybe the Celtics' own pick in the next year.
Celtics'
own pick next year or something. I mean, that seems better to me. I think the Celtics are going to be better than Brooklyn, so I think that I'd rather keep Brooklyn's pick and give them the Celtics. Sure.
Deal. So we're talking about the Clippers and Boston's 2015 picks, right?
No, Boston's next year because Brooklyn's next year, right?
Brooklyn is next year, yeah. So Clippers this year, Boston next year?
Right. Now, wait. Is next year the Celtics just get Brooklyn's pick, or is next year they get the option to swap Brooklyn's pick? Because that matters, too.
No, next year they get their pick straight up. It's the year after
okay.
that.
Okay, so they would keep Brooklyn's pick and give away their own pick and the Clippers pick this year for Ty Lawson. I would do that, yes. Keep Brooklyn's pick. That's right. The hot pick right there.
All
done and done. That seems fair to me. All right, I like that you gave me a little work. Like, it's just like real GM talk. I like it. All right.
Here, is that it?
Here's a...
Nope.
What's that?
I said, is that it?
No, yeah, one more.
One more.
Here's where we're taking a home run swing here. And you can't... You might
All right, there you go. There's a drum roll.
You might tell me it's too much again, Rui, but go big or go home. Marcus Thornton. Off to a good start, right? Kelly, the Clippers' 2015 pick, Brooklyn's 2016 pick, and Boston's 2017 pick for DeMarcus Cousins.
Woo! I had a little bit of a discussion with somebody at work about Marcus Cousins today. Our conclusion was that Brad Stevens is not the man to rein him in. So my problem with DeMarcus Cousins is that if George Karl doesn't want him on his team and he can't get the respect of DeMarcus Cousins, Danny Ainge bringing in DeMarcus Cousins shows that he has yet again decided to go with the player instead of the coach. And while this is a player's league, he's spent the last 2 years trying to establish that this is Brad Stevens' team. So bringing in DeMarcus Cousins to me blows that up. I think I'm out on DeMarcus Cousins just in general, period. Unless it's a Godfather offer, Calvin. I think I'm just out on DeMarcus Cousins.
Well, think about DeMarcus Cousins again. He's not on the trade block now. I think he could be had if somebody blew him away. Which that's how I went 3 number 1s and my basically 3 number 1s for DeMarcus. I think DeMarcus is awesome. Like, he just has a basketball player. He's especially when he cares. When he cares, because he's so good on both ends. That's the thing. It's like he's dominant in the low post and defensively. I think the thing with George Karl that people are like concerned about is that George Karl runs like a non-center based offense and kind of a non-center based defense. So is he? You know, maybe he'll change his system in working around DeMarcus Cousins, but people are worried about. Like, it's not going to be, like, he plays a much more freewheeling style, which is not DeMarcus Cousins' game. So maybe he can be had. I just think that there's so few guys who are legitimate superstar difference makers on a team. And maybe DeMarcus Cousins isn't that guy, but talent-wise, I think he is. Talent-wise, he's a top-10 player. He hasn't pulled it all together, you know, for a season or for his career. But you tell me right now, like, there's 10 guys in the NBA that you think are better, like, basketball players when it comes down to it than DeMarcus Cousins. And I just think when you have an opportunity to get those guys, it's so rare, I'd have to
Okay,
do it.
So in a vacuum, I guess, yes. But factoring in the whole coach situation, I can't do it. I got to find a better deal. I have to at least counteroffer and bring them down and have some more, keep some assets, because that's too much to blow up what I've tried to build for the last year and a half.
But if you're not trying to build for a DeMarcus Cousins, who are you trying to build for? You know what I mean? He's the guy. Who are we talking about if not DeMarcus? You know, Anthony Davis? Who are they getting if they're not getting DeMarcus?
Yeah, I guess it's a good point. I just the kid's attitude is a serious problem, and maybe he needs to get out of the Western Conference. Maybe a change of scenery will do him good, but I don't know. I talk him down. I try and come down with the 2 picks or something like that, because it seems steep. Pump the brakes on that one.
Oh, it's steep. All right, there's no question. It's steep. But even with those 3 picks, you still have, what, another 3 picks? I just think it's, like, in practical terms, you know what I mean?
I just don't know if he's the guy to build around. I mean, you need to – if you're going to try and – yeah, you want the talent, Calvin, sure. But you need character as well. And as much as I hate on LeBron James for being a douche and just predicting that he was going to win so many championships and all of that, I mean, he has the basketball character, and he has the values that Adam Silver was talking about all weekend, basically, to win a championship. He knows what it takes, and his attitude towards get that goal is a positive one, even if it doesn't come across that way. And there are a lot of guys in the league that are that way. The entire Spurs roster is that way. Kobe Bryant is that way, whether he is just a total jerk to the media or not. But the point is, I don't think DeMarcus Cousins has that attitude yet. Maybe he'll get it. And like I said, maybe a change of scenery is what snaps him into something like that. But he's been in the league for too long for that to not have kicked in for the guy at his talent level. So I have a lot of concerns about a player like that.
All right, Ray, fair enough. I pushed and I prodded, and I got you to agree to about half the trades. And
not six, not seven.
Only half, not six or seven trades, but half. Congratulations, yeah. Calvin. That is a very, very good job.
Thank you. Well,
but Ray, I do wonder if...
You ever been in a ball fight?
I don't even go to bars, but what I wonder is whether you know that I also have a team in the NBA. It's not just you who's a fan of a team that exists that has a trade.
You do. You do also have the team of in the NBA, and I wish you hadn't just segued because, well, I guess I can use this as well because your team sucks right now too. But the Celtics were really bad 10 years ago or so, and somebody who knows a lot about that, Calvin, is Larry H. Russell. He actually wrote a book. It's called Fall of the Boston Celtics. And I'm not going to read the subtitle because you can find that out for yourself by tweeting at CLNS_LHR or go to CLNSradio.com and search for Larry's book. You can get it there. So, Calvin, in order for you to not have to write your own book like Larry H. Russell, but about the Lakers for the next 3 to 4 years, this is my segue. What do your Lakers have to do to prevent you from doing that?
Well, for the record, Larry H. Russell and I wrote that book together, so I'm just allowing him to take credit for it. So the Lakers, what should they do at the deadline? I mean, here's the thing. The Lakers, unlike the Celtics, right? The Lakers are bad. I mean, the Celtics are also bad, but the Lakers are bad, bad.
Yeah, they're really bad. They're lottery bad, baby. Let's go. Yeah. Woo!
Yeah, they've lost six in a row, 13 out of 14, and now they're only one game behind Philadelphia for the third worst record in the league, and two games behind Minnesota, who just got their whole team back with the health of Ricky Rubio. So I'm hoping they're a little bit better. Lakers could end up, you know, being just ahead of only New York in the standings by the end of the season. And by the way, they have to get a top five lottery pick, or else it goes to Phoenix.
Right, but I
want
to make sure you're right when I retire.
The hell was that?
That was Kobe Bryant saying it's his team.
Yeah. I couldn't quite make it out. So, if I have to sit through this entire miserable season only to, like, see the Lakers' number six draft pick go to Phoenix, I'm going to be apoplectic. Like, I can't deal with that. So I'm normally rooting against tanking, but when you create a scenario where, like, the only way I can get any draft pick at all is if my team is bad and they are bad, it's like there's no incentive for them to win.
That's the thing about protected picks in the NBA that I think nobody really talks about, but that is part of the NBA's trade structure and draft structure and part of their trade culture, I should say, as well, that encourages tanking. Because guess what? If your pick that you just traded away is outside of the top five, you lose it. But if you're bad enough to get in the top five, you keep your pick. Nobody's talking about that. They're talking about people, their teams wanting the top five pick for other reasons, to have that top five player or whatever. Nobody's mentioning that teams may have traded something or traded their pick away, but protected it. And that's exactly what the Lakers have done. So I can't even imagine what you're going through right now, having to root for them to lose. Do you even watch the games anymore? I probably would try and turn something else on. You have a reality TV show you like?
Reality TV. Yeah, I watch Storage Wars all the time.
Yep.
I don't watch a lot of the games for that reason, because I can't deal with it. But especially without Kobe, there's just nobody to root for on the team. No Kobe, no Julius Randle. No, I basically hate everyone else. I like Jordan Hill and Ed Davis, and that's pretty much it. But
Davis,
Jordan
UNC.
Point, yeah, there you go. But the thing is so it's supposedly being reported that the Lakers are trying to get Goran Dragic, and I don't know how to feel about that, because I love Goran Dragic. I think he's underrated. I actually think that I don't understand why they signed Isaiah Thomas. I feel like last year he was on, you know, last year he was like the third or fourth best point guard in the league. This year it seems like they're burying him, and he's not, you know, I guess Bledsoe's healthy. He's not getting the minutes he did before. But I love Dragic, and I would like to see him be a Laker. But on the other hand, like, do I want to see him be a Laker enough for him to then ruin this thing they've got going on where they're going to get that pick? I don't know, because if they don't trade for him, maybe they won't be able to get him in the offseason. It's such a weird limbo to be in. I feel like whatever happens, it's going to be the wrong thing, and I'm going to be angry about it.
I think you need to go big and not go in or go home. Like you said before, you need to go for the lottery pick and hope that they can land him as a free agent, because they're the Lakers and that's what they do, right? They get free agents. So get that lottery pick, then turn on the charm, have Magic Johnson go to his house or something. I don't know what you need to do over there in La La Land, but that's what you should be hoping for, I think, right?
Yeah, I guess. I'm just in a miserable season with him. I'm just in a bad mood, right?
Oh, Calvin. Well, maybe we should listen to Kobe talk about patience.
When you look at this summer...
No. I changed my mind. It's too long. Don't want to do it. What I will do, though, is remind everybody... Oh, I just got rid of that link. Damn. I will remind everyone that even though the Celtics may not be very good, we are hoping that they're going to make this push for the playoffs. And the Garden Report is still better than ever. So head on over to youtube.com/CLNSradio to check out what Jared Weiss puts together after every home game. He's got locker room interviews. He's got a nice little table set up there on the parquet floor. Sometimes he's up in the rafters. Jimmy Toscano often stops by. So hit that up over there on youtube.com/CLNSradio. It's an HD, baby. Subscribe to it. And while you're at it, download the CLNS Radio mobile app and give us a little bit of a rating. Tell me how sexy my voice is. Yeah. Super Buds. Tang Wei. Yeah. All right. That's it. Next!
You just gave me the papers.
Oh, wait. Actually, how does Elaine say it in the Soup Nazi Seinfeld episode? She's like doing the... She's reading off the mushroom soup or whatever. No more soup for you, Soup Nazi. Next! That's what she says.
That is what she said. I appreciate Seinfeld references.
Anyway.
You're giving me the vapors once again, Ray.
That's it for my impressions on the night. Except for maybe I'll do some other ones later. Oh, I'm supposed to do Jim Rome. I'm going to do Jim Rome tonight? No, I don't want to do Jim Rome. I did some impressions the other night. We'll save that for a baseball show. Anyway, we are way behind on our topics here. So let's do a little couple of quick hitters here. Charles Barkley is pissed off, Calvin. He doesn't like what's going on in the new trends in the NBA. Is that accurate?
I don't know if calling it a trend is accurate. I mean, Charles Barkley said, here's what he said on TNT postgame. He said, the Rockets sucked for a long time. So they went out and they paid James Harden a lot of money. They got better. Not true, by the way. Then they went out and got Dwight Howard. They got better. The NBA is about talent, he went on. All these guys who run these organizations who talk about analytics, they have one thing in common. They're a bunch of guys who have never played the game and they never got a high school girl. I said that wrong. They never got the girls in high school. Sounded creepy. And they just want to get in the game. I mean, maybe they did get high school girls. Just because you've got good stats doesn't mean you're a good team defensively. They're not a good defensive team. They gave up 118 points. No good team gives up 118 points.
So he contradicted himself, right?
Did he? How so?
I don't know. He's saying that they got better and then they started putting in analytics there. They got worse. Is that he can tell that because of the points they gave up? Because he started that thing out by saying that they got better by getting talent. And then he's insinuating that analytics is what ruined it and that's why they're giving up 118 points a game.
No, what he's saying is that their analytics don't matter because really the way they got better was by getting James Harden and Dwight Howard, not through analytics.
Right.
But
then he's saying that they're not better. They're not a good team because they're giving up 118 points. He's contradicting himself.
Right. And then I think he's kind of making two different points. He's trying to say, like, even with your analytics, you're still a bad defensive team, and that's what matters. I think that's what he's saying. But
the two aren't tied together. The analytics and getting good players. Do you see what I'm saying? He's trying to tie the two together, but he's also trying to separate them at the same time.
Right. He's trying not to tie them together. I think the point is that one is that they are tied together because. It was through asset collection that the Rockets were able to trade for James Harden in the first place, if that's how you want to look at it. But two, like,
but that's not the type. That's not what analytics means, though. Asset collection. It's just a different way of looking at the game with statistics and floor spacing, I think, and just trying to, like, the corner three is a big thing that analytics has brought up.
This is my issue. It's like people misuse and distrust the idea of analytics. All analytics is information. It's a fancy way of saying information. Like, there's different ways you can... Now, we have more information now than we used to have. But you know what analytics used to be? It's like field goal percentage. And who, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Oh, let's get Shaq the ball more because he can score inside. Like, that's analytics. So this idea that, like, teams don't play with analytics... It's stupid, and more importantly, like, even the analytics guys, like, analytics in talent aren't mutually exclusive. Like, nobody's saying that, like, you and I in Liz and you know, Nick Joso and Ty Ray, although that would be a dominating starting five, like, just using analytics and figuring out, like, the ideal way to get each shot, that we'd be able to, you know, beat the 86 Celtics. Maybe the 87 Celtics because they started to break down at that point, but certainly not the 86 Celtics.
No, obviously not, because the talent needs to be there, and that's kind of like what Barkley's getting at. But for him to say that they got better because they got the talent, and then now they're still a bad team, even though they're using analytics, I don't think he's making a point. I think he's contradicting himself there because that's fine because that's what Charles does, right? I mean, he does stuff like that all the time. He just talks in circles. And I tend to do that when I get going as well. But the point of this, just throwing the buzzword out there, is just, it's a word for people to grab onto. But you're right, it's really what's been going on all the time, and it's just that now they're looking at it with more of a statistical approach. That's what people like Charles Barkley, I think, sort of look at when they hear the word analytics. It's not just watching players play basketball. Chuck probably thinks, Chuck and I are like best friends, by the way. That's why I call him Chuck. He probably thinks that people are just sitting down at the computer and punching in their numbers and looking at where somebody shot the ball or something, and not actually how the shot was created in the flow of the game. Now, that's where he's wrong with this, because the people that are actually making the decisions for the most part in the NBA are looking at it the way he's looking at it, right? They're just using this other type of, or this other way to look at the game through statistics, through the eyes of these people that are compiling statistics, and who, by the way, are also watching the games. And so it's sort of working it out that way. Do you think that Brad Stevens just looks at a sheet of paper handed to him by his head analytic guy, if that's what you want to call him, and says, oh, thanks. Look, Avery Bradley took 12 more shots in the corner. We're just going to keep pumping him in there. No, I'm sure that he looks at this stuff and he asks questions about it, and he discusses what happens on the floor compared to what's happening with the numbers with his coaching staff and everybody around. So Charles Barkley to just look at it and say that it's wrong, or it doesn't mean anything to look at the game that way using these stats, is asinine. Because I think it's good to at least be open to the idea and sort of take statistics and try to work them into the flow of the game. And if it doesn't work out, that's fine. But I think a lot of teams are using it to their advantage. There's my little rant.
Right. All analytics are is an attempt to maximize talent, just like coaches have been doing since the dawn of time. They just have more information now. That's all it is, more information. So for Charles Barkley to stick his head in the – look, I understand why he's annoyed, because I get annoyed by all the math. Like, I used to, like, just enjoy the games and you know, be able to follow the games and look on the court. And I can still do that and say, hey, you know, we do post-game shows where you can say, hey, like, this person, you know, did this. This person was, you know, coming too far off screens. That element still exists in the game. But there's also this math element of, like, I have to know all these different things now to know, like, if whether or not a guy is taking a good shot. I can understand why, especially for an older dude like Charles Barkley, why that's frustrating. But the fact of the matter is that information is out there, so why? There's no reason for teams to ignore it.
Yeah, it's relevant, too, or can be relevant if you're using it in the right way and you're looking at it correctly, which Charles Barkley clearly is not. So,
right.
Anyway, let's move on from that, because we have more to talk about. We talked about the All-Star game in the first five or so minutes of this show, and here's another quick topic about the All-Star game. Carmelo Anthony played. That's the topic. We discussed this a little bit before the game, a week or two beforehand, because we went on a nice little Knicks bashing session on either a post-game or maybe it was this show. Who knows? I can't even remember. But it was you and I know that much, and that's what makes it fun. We bashed them, and part of that was that Carmelo was going to play in the All-Star game and then shut it down. It's going to happen. And he just... Over the weekend, I don't know if you saw this, Calvin, but I saw some quotes, and he was really basking in the glory that was the All-Star game, reveling in the fact that he was there. He did not want the week, and by all accounts, he was sad when it was over. So Carmelo Anthony, really, he may be looking into the back career here. He's a little freaked out, and he sort of sees that this is going to start to be bind him over the next few years.
Yeah, you cut out on me there, but yeah, Carmelo Anthony's getting knee surgery, right? Supposedly he's going to shut himself down for the rest of the season, which is fine. I don't have a problem with that at all. But like you said, he said that he was going to play in the All-Star game because he owed it to the fans. The game was in New York. He got the loudest cheer out of anybody there. And then he goes out in this all-star game that doesn't matter at all. And he plays 30 minutes. He played more minutes than anybody on the team other than Westbrook.
Yep.
He shot the ball 20 times. He went 6 of 20. Shot the ball 20 times, right? Now, is he going to get hurt?
Calvin, there were a few instances where it was very clear that those guys were getting the ball to Carmelo, too.
Yeah, definitely. They were definitely trying to, put on an exhibition based around Carmelo. But I just don't understand why this would happen. Like, I don't understand why he played in the game, because it's just looking so bad on him, especially for a guy who says, hey, I can't play. I need knee surgery. I need to shut down the rest of the season. He instead of getting the surgery last week, it was a full week. He could have gotten that surgery last week. He takes another week to play in this game that doesn't matter, and then he plays the most minutes in this game for what? It takes a bunch of shots for what? Like, that game, like, is just so exemplary of such an example of, like, what a selfish player Carmelo is. And I feel like sometimes Carmelo takes crap unnecessarily, but, like, this was the definition of quintessential Carmelo. Like, there's nothing more Carmelo Anthony than, you know, having surgery right after an exhibition game that you play 30 minutes in.
Yeah, man. If I was a Knicks fan, I would have a really bitter taste in my mouth right now, but I'm not a Knicks fan. I hate the Knicks, so I'm laughing right now. I think this is hilarious. Although, there probably are Knicks fans out there that will say, oh, yeah, let Carmelo get his all-star game fun in. He's going to have to shut it down anyway. The Knicks are terrible. Good for them. Let him be healthy for the final 3 years of his contract, whatever it may be. To that I say, you are a fool. Your team is not going to be that good. What a joke, the Knicks. Ha ha!
Well, Liz is a Knicks fan. Why don't we bring her in and see what she thinks about that?
Liz is a Knicks fan. Calvin, you bite your tongue. You watch your mouth. Liz is a Knicks fan. You know what I say
to
that?
I'm a Knicks fan.
Of all the dramatic things I've ever seen!
You didn't upload the clips I made?
I just did. It's right there. What do you mean? That was it.
Yeah. Of all the dramatic things I've ever seen!
That was the clip.
Was that it? Was that it?
What do you mean? You thought that was me live? That was the clip. Yeah. There's another one. This is the longer one. This is what I was going to say for the basement.
Roger Clemens is in George Steinbrenner's box! Roger Clemens is a New York Yankee!
Yeah. Thank you, Liz. That's good. Maybe that's the new intro to Liz's little segment here. We're gonna play that.
Yeah. Of all the dramatic things I've ever seen.
There we go.
Yeah,
Liz,
go. I'm standing with the Goo Goo Dolls. I'm sorry. I gotta stick
with. You want Goo Goo Dolls? Okay. Yeah, that's fine. We can get that quickly. Here we go. And I don't want the world. Because I don't think that he understands. Yeah, Liz, come on, sing it. Come on, Liz, sing.
Three.
Nope.
Nope.
You know what I'm saying?
What does he not want the world to see him doing? It's gotta be one. Pretty devious, eh?
What'd you say?
Because he doesn't want... He's doing something. He doesn't want the world to see him. But he's like... He's like telling this one girl that he just wants her to know who he is. You know what I mean? So you must be somebody pretty messed up. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, my God.
What do you think he's doing, Liz? Have you ever thought about it that way?
No, I mean... No. I hate them. I hate the Goo Goo Dolls. And that song's so dumb. Talk about dumb lyrics. Like, that is way more dumb than Street Fighter's lyrics. Calvin.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's worse than you're not the one, but you're the only one. You're right.
I heard some Smashing Pumpkins song today, and the lyrics to that were pretty bad, too. Although I was never into them, so. Anyways, moving on.
How dare you.
Smashing Pumpkins are not that good. Very. Can you back me up here?
But what is it?
Is that again? Here's the problem.
Who?
Smashing Pumpkins?
Yeah.
Yeah, here's the problem with you two. You guys are both, like... you're like 5 years too young. So what happens is you were in high school in the late 90s when music was horrible. So, like, for you, nostalgia have like Corn and Limp Bizkit. You know what I mean?
Oh, nice. And, like,
hey,
like, we should get some break stuff on here.
You know what? We should get break stuff.
What else? Yeah. Oh. Oh, there it is. Yeah.
That's a jam. That is a jam.
Good stuff.
All right. Anyway,
okay, so topics. So I have this funny video clip, which obviously you can't see on here because of the podcast. I'm going to send it to you guys afterwards. But the story is that there was an elderly driver in Wisconsin who is on camera hitting, pretty funny, hitting like 10 cars in a parking lot, parked cars. But, like, to the point where it looks like a demolition derby, they're, like, gunning it. So, this guy is 92. But the story is, well, I want your opinion on this. The police department is not pressing charges. So, what do you think about that?
How? How do you not press charges?
Dude, this is what I'm saying. Like, at first I was like, oh, that's kind of, I mean, God, like, I guess that's nice. Like, the guy is old. But then I watched the video, and it's, like, completely ridiculous. And, like, he takes, like, the bumper clear off of a car and, like, hits the groceries off of his truck that's, like, sitting there waiting to, like, move. So I just don't understand how you can't press charges.
That's what I just said.
Well, nobody got hurt, right?
No, I don't think anybody got hurt.
Well, you know, maybe they're big insurance fans, so like insurance will take care of it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. That seems crazy to me.
Calvin, where was it? Was it in California, you said?
It's in Mayville, Wisconsin.
Wisconsin? Damn.
Yeah.
Calvin, are there laws in California about old people having to get their licenses redone? Like take the test again or something?
You definitely like have to take the test again. I think it's like every 6 years or something. Once you get to like 70, after a couple years ago, an old guy like murdered 10 people at a farmer's market by just plowing through it at 8 miles an hour with his car.
Is that really murder? I guess it's murder. Yeah. Damn.
It's vehicular.
Vehicular manslaughter.
Sorry, he manslaughtered them. Does that roll off the tongue better? Yeah.
I don't know why I'm laughing at that.
Okay. what else here? This sounds okay. Sounds fishy.
Okay. Well, anyway, they're saying you guys look clipped. It's pretty amusing just to watch it. But the other thing that, well, I just read this is like a little bonus story just for you, really, because you like Afro Man. But he was the lead singer of Afro Man, who was just referred to as Afro Man. I'm assuming that's just his persona. He was arrested in Gillespie.
Yeah.
Huh?
That's his name.
That is his name. Sure, great.
We have that on. We have one of those clips here too, right? Don't we?
Oh, we do. I think we do have Afro Man.
Oh, yeah. Boom. There it is. Yep. Oh, thank you. Should have been ready with that one. Arrested.
He was arrested at one of his shows for punching a female fan in the face.
Punching her?
he punched her on stage. And he was arrested. Was just a bonus.
I punched a female fan and now I'm arrested. I was gonna get up and find the broom, but then I punched a fan. That's all there is.
I'm wondering what she did to deserve it.
Yeah, I know. Nope. I'm wondering too. There's like really no info because it's just the news just broke. Breaking news on Careless Whispers.
The correct answer is that there's nothing she could have done to deserve to get punched in the face by a man.
No, I'm thinking. Is it like,
what did that fan do to get punched? Oh, that's why he got high. I was gonna get up and find the broom, but then I got high. And then I punched the fan again. She did nothing. That's the answer. What, Liz?
I'm just saying, like, if she's being like unsafe and violent, you have to like defend
yourself. Punch her right in the face.
Yeah, maybe that's what happened. I don't know. He doesn't strike me as like an angry person, so that's all.
And then
I read this other story, and this is more of like along my work, and it's a Florida story, so I thought maybe you have an opinion, Murray. But in Florida, they just passed a plan that sets goals for students in math and reading because they're, you know, really bad compared to the rest of the country. But it's based upon their race. So, like, white students, like, a certain percentage of white students have to achieve, you know, a certain amount of test scores. But it's, like, much, much lower for African-American kids. And Hispanics are in the middle.
Interesting. Calvin?
I guess are
you even listening? Is he there?
I don't know if you can. You said something like, is it hard to understand me with my phone? Are you having a hard time understanding me?
I'm here. If you not hear me.
Oh, yeah, we do.
So, I guess, like, my question is, like, I mean, is it fair considering, I mean, I personally think it's not fair, but it might also be realistic, depending on, like, the test scores that are coming out of the state, but I just want to know what your thoughts were.
I mean, it depends. When I was living in Florida, there were areas that, it didn't matter what your race was. If you lived in that area of Tallahassee, for instance, your test scores should not be expected to be very high at all.
Right.
And there were black kids, white kids, it didn't matter. There were people raising kids in those districts that frankly shouldn't have been raising kids, period. Like some of the stuff that you see down there is crazy. So I can only imagine some of the sticks in Florida that aren't in the boroughs of Tallahassee that I actually saw what might be happening there. So, and I did have a couple of experiences at the elementary schools in a couple of these areas. And a lot of these kids they just weren't catching on as quickly as people around them. And it didn't matter their race. Like I said, white, black, Hispanic, it didn't matter. I feel like that puts people certain kids at a disadvantage.
Mm-hmm.
And it shouldn't be based on race. It should be based more on just where they're living and, or I guess I'd hate it, but income, because that's part of it.
Right.
Especially down there. Go ahead, Calvin.
Did you say something about the sticks in Florida?
Yeah.
Earlier?
Sticks.
Oh, okay.
Jesus Christ.
I tried to jump in on you because I heard you say that.
Sticks, like, the band.
No, like the outreaches of any Everglades. How about that?
Like backwoods.
Right. I get you. Okay.
Like True Detective style.
My goodness.
But in Florida. Mm-hmm.
That's all it? Right. That's what you were making sure I didn't say?
Well, I think that's important, don't you?
It is important. It is. I just wanted to make sure you didn't have anything else to say on the topic.
No, I kind of missed part of it, and I didn't want to, like, be rude.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, what else do you have to say, Lizzie?
I think that's it. That is all I have.
How's Arlington handling the snow?
We're doing
I've avoided Arlington. I don't think I've been in 2 or 3 weeks, and it's 10 minutes away.
Yeah, I have to say it's a lot better this time around than it was the other couple of times. But I do want to say that I originally had the mayor talking about jumping out of the windows as one of my topics, and you stole it. So that was one of my original topics.
That's why I asked you.
Yeah,
so
no,
I asked
fine.
For how you're doing
it's
with
fine.
The snow.
That's great. I would not talk.
Do you want to talk about Andrew Bynum driving off of the gas nozzle?
No, but I love that that even happened. I don't know how people do that, but that's fun.
Yep.
Like, wouldn't you feel some, like, I don't know, resistance?
Apparently he made it to the 76ers facility with a gas nozzle sticking out of his Ferrari.
Yeah, like, how fast do you have to drive away from the gas pump to not feel the resistance?
There's a multiple video, I was telling Calvin earlier that a few weeks ago I watched one of these, and there's a lot of people apparently that have done this, and some of them start fires at the gas pump as well.
Yeah.
With static or with their threats or whatever it may be. Go Google that. Get a little video montage action of people driving away from the pump. That's some insurance damage right there.
I will do that. You guys should watch that clip of the elderly man hitting all the cars in the parking lot. It's pretty amusing.
Done.
Sounds good to me.
Thanks,
all right,
guys.
Liz. Thank you. Chop it, chop. We're winding down here. It's a little choppy. Goodbye, Liz. Thank you. Okay, there she goes, Calvin. Do we want to... Oh, I forgot to tell everybody about Linda again. I mentioned Linda earlier because the show was brought to you by Lynda.com, LYNDA.com. And CLNS Radio keeps itself free in part because of Linda, because of Patreon. So go to clnsradio.com/patrons and check out all of the different levels that you can help us out with. If you're a listener to CLNS Radio and you want to keep it free, then give us money. Talk about contradicting ourselves like Charles Barkley. But seriously, go to clnsradio.com/patrons. And if you do donate to us, there's plenty of swag involved, whether it's a CLNS Radio V-neck t-shirt or special exclusive HD content that Jared and others at the Celtics and Bruins games put together just for you special listeners out there. You can check that out at clnsradio.com/patrons. But more importantly, lynda.com, LYNDA, is course for, and I do mean everything, whether you're trying to find a new hobby or you don't know how to ask for a raise. Calvin's his own boss pretty much, so he doesn't need to ask soon, right, Calvin?
I need to ask myself for a raise.
Exactly. You can learn how to ask yourself for a raise. Maybe you want to get a little bit better with Excel or WordPress or Photoshop. WordPress, I don't even know what that old. Maybe that out. And improve your job skills. Go to CLNS, get a free 10-day trial. To those 10 days, keep your find whatever you want. Lynda.com, there's something for everyone, and you can many different aspects of your life with Lynda.com. All right, Calvin. We have 9 minutes left. I didn't think we were going to get all the way to the show. We've both rambled a little bit tonight. Which of the two topics, maybe we can hit them both. Kevin Durant is pissed at the media. How about that one?
Yeah, how about that one? So let me pull this up real quick. Kevin Durant. All right, so, he's been basically having more of an attitude lately. Somebody asked him about Scottie Brooks' job security, and he said, "You guys really don't know S." And then he was like, "To be honest, man, I'm only here talking to y'all because I have to. So I really don't care. Y'all not my friends. You're going to write what you want to write. You're going to love us one day and hate us the next. That's a part of it. So I just learned how to deal with y'all." And a couple days ago, he talked about how, like, he didn't think the media should be voting on awards, that the media has too much power. He's the latest in this long line. Maybe we'll get more into it next week, of of guys who are turning against the media, particularly like in their, you know, media day press conferences or sitting down in their post game interviews, like sort of passive rebellions against doing it, like realizing they have to, but not actually ever saying anything. He seems to be the latest in a long line. But for tonight, I want to know what do you think it is that's gotten under Kevin Durant's skin? Like, is this the real KD? Has he been like a sort of fraud his whole career? Not a fraud, but like a sort of media creation, a branding image creation, and this is what he is, a surly dude? Or do you think it's more that he is a nice guy, but he's just getting frustrated and, you know, now he's turning...
That's a clown question, bro.
He's been hanging out with Bryce Harper, apparently. That's it. That's all there is to it. He's hanging out with Bryce Harper. Now, I think that Kevin Durant is a nice guy, and I think that sometimes the media can get to a player, especially in a situation where I think for the first few years of his career, there was a pretty light media presence in Oklahoma City. I wasn't there. Obviously, I don't know. But I think compared to other cities in the NBA, the media presence there wasn't that strong. And after the team was good for a few years consistently, probably started to grow. And Kevin Durant, I'm sure, is expected to bring the team to very high places because he's looked upon as the number one/two/top three player in the NBA. Let's put it that way. Some people would say not one or two. I think we both agree that he's at the very least number two. And actually, Anthony Davis would step into that argument, I suppose. But anyway, the point is that I think that he's getting frustrated here because people are starting to question him already. And they're doing the best they can down there. They had a very rough start to the season. They still have a pretty good chance to make a run at this thing. And I think that Kevin Durant is possibly just tired of all the people down there just breathing down his neck. And yes, it comes with the territory, but there is also a point where I think as a player, you say, all right, enough. Can you just stop doubting us for a little bit and let us play our game and see how it plays out, and we'll talk later. So, I mean, actions talk, right? Put your money where your mouth is, that type of thing. I'm sure that Kevin Durant is going to do all he can to get his team to win a championship, but as far as the media is concerned, we are members of it, I suppose. We pump Jared Weiss up all the time because he's not a badger in the locker room. You know, he does it the right way. I think some of these guys take it to a new level, though, and maybe that's the type of person that Kevin Durant ran into there. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that I do think that there was a, not that he's not a nice guy, but that he's a human being. Like, the idea of like Kevin Durant just being the ultimate nice guy and like never having anything negative to say, I'm sure, you know what I'm saying? I'm sure that wasn't the real Kevin Durant. I'm sure we're seeing more of that now. It's like if I had a coach and, you know, the media, like Scottie Brooks, the media was always, you know, asking if I think he should be fired and stuff, I'd probably be like, you guys are idiots too. You know what I mean? I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I respect that he's showing more.
Right, especially if he likes his coach, right?
Right, exactly. It was an issue I had with Kobe early on in his career too, where he was just a branding image and he wasn't a real dude. And like there was all these rumors about him, but we didn't see that side of him until later in his career. And I think we're getting a little bit of that from Durant now, of like, yeah, I'm, you know, no more Mr. Nice Guy. Like I'm just going to tell you what I think, and if what I think is F you, then what I think is F you. And I have much more respect for that than the guy who's going to go up there and, you know, say the just rehearsed mumble speak that everybody else says. So I don't have, and yeah, I'm sure the media can be annoying, and there's probably guys that he gets frustrated with and other guys that he's cool with. And I respect that he's throwing that opinion out there, and he shouldn't be judged for that, because I'm sure, you know, it goes the other way too. The media is going to write a story about him if they don't like him.
All right, and finally, a topic that you and Mike in Pittsburgh could probably talk about, you and I will only talk about for a minute is the fact that the NBA union has, players union, I should say, has rejected the idea of a smoothing principle on the cap. Can you explain principle in 1 minute?
Sure. The cap smoothing idea was the idea that, so next season when the new TV revenue comes in, the cap, if you go off of the NBA CBA, the cap should jump $30 million, so or approximately $30 million. So that means like people who are free agents next year, like they're going to be able to get paid a lot more money. So the cap smoothing idea was that instead of having that 1 year jump, that like they would make the increments smaller. That way, all the teams wouldn't just overpay for everybody who was a free agent next year, and it would create salary disparities. But so the NBA's union rejected that in favor of the deal that's already in place, because the idea is like there's some guys at the end of their career who can make, you know, one more big payday next year. And if you do a cap smoothing scenario, like maybe it's better for everyone in the long run, but you're hurting like guys who are at the end of their careers or like journeymen who might only get one contract, and ultimately the players are going to make less money.
Yeah, that's a tough situation to be in. I think for the league as a whole, the smoothing principle probably would have been good in the long run, but you have to keep the interest of every player in mind when you are the players' union. And even, you know, 5% of your players that this would have shut down. Speaking of shutting it down, that's it for us, Calvin, because it's left in the show. Good night to everybody, and thank you for listening, and thank you for being on the show, Liz, and thank you for calling. Nobody. Good night. Where's the thing? Where's the close?
Good night, everyone.
Yeah, good night, everyone. Just be patient. It'll be here in a second. I don't know why I can't find this thing.
Should I stop?
Wow. Where is it? This is embarrassing. How? Oh, it's called. I forgot. Look, it's creeping up on me. Oh, God.